Chapter 21. While I was dead, a thought occurred to me. No, it didn't really happen that way, but it felt as if it did. Sometimes when a man is revived, it seems like his mind has been dreaming while floating in a hazy half-existence between life and death. This was just one of those times. The thought that was fixed in my mind as I breathed with fresh lungs, coughing and hacking, was that I'd been wronged. I shouldn't have had my leg blown off. It was the fault of my officers, and I wasn't happy about that. My mouth worked the moment I came back, but my limbs were sluggish. I squinted as I opened my eyes. All I could see was bright white lights and shadows moving nearby. I knew they were bio people. For some reason, they seemed like ghouls to me today, and I wanted nothing to do with them.
"You can all go to hell," I said in a raspy voice.
"What's that?" asked a voice. I recognized it was Anne after a moment, but I didn't care. I was in a bad mood this time around.
I said, "You're all assholes, and Winslade's the worst of your kind."
"You're not making any sense, James," she said patiently. "I can barely understand your slurred words."
Sitting up with a grunt and a deep breath, I found an orderly was poking at my neck with something.
"What's his Apgar score?"
Anne asked. 9, I'd say. He's a good grow by all the numbers, but his mind seems fuzzy."
"Give him a minute."
The orderly poked at me again. His face was too close to mine. He was looking into my ear for some shitty reason. I found him and his instruments to be intolerable. I put my hand on his face and pushed. The man went over and back onto his ass with a satisfying crash. Another face appeared in my limited field of view after that. It was Anne, and she looked pissed. Her arms were crossed under her small breasts, pushing them up a little.
"That's not an appropriate attitude, veteran," she said.
I looked at her. More specifically, I looked at her breasts. They were plumped up by her arms, and I focused on them blearily. "You got nice ones," I said. "They look perfectly round, like apples." She made an odd sound of disgust then.
"Are you making a pass at me, James? The moment you come back, are you serious?"
"Suppose I am."
"Well, that has to be the worst pickup line I've ever heard."
Despite myself, a smile flickered over my face. "I'm a little off my game," I mumbled.
"You sure are. Now, is there a reason why you're abusing my staff?"
I looked at the orderly. He was standing well clear of me, looking wary and irritated. "Hey, guy," I said, "you look like you're gonna cry. Why don't you go pout somewhere else?" Anne moved between me and the orderly as I began to climb off the table. Maybe she took my move as threatening.
"James," she said, "you're exhibiting aggressive behavior without cause. That's not good. Try to get a grip on yourself right now."
I finally grasped what she was saying. She had the right and duty to recycle me if my brain wasn't working correctly. If I'd come back physically crippled, I'd have been killed for that as well. "I'm fine," I said.
"Sometimes," Anne said, eyeing me in concern, "a bad grow doesn't have a twisted limb or an organ failure that's easy to measure with a blood test. Sometimes they come back with a twist in the mind. I'm hoping that's not your story, James."
"It's not. I'm fine."
"Can you tell me why you're angry?"
she asked, gently. The truth was that her questioning was pissing me off, but that wouldn't have been a good thing to admit. Instead, I tried to remember why I'd come off the table so sure that I'd been mistreated. The thoughts I'd awakened with were hard to grasp. They were already like dreams that faded the second you woke up. Often, a minute or two after rebirth, I couldn't recall what I'd been thinking about as I woke up. But then I finally remembered. "I've got it now," I said. "The turrets. The officer screwed up."
"What do you mean, James?"
"They put the troops out in the forest instead of using our new defenses.
They should have kept us back under the hull of the lifter. They should have deployed the turrets before the giants even showed up. If they'd done that, only a few of us would have died. Maybe none of us would have. That's why I'm pissed off. Hundreds died for nothing.
Anne looked at me thoughtfully. After a moment, she nodded.
You have a point. We lost about half the force we had out there. I'm no tactician, but I can see why you aren't happy.
I sucked in another breath and I felt better. I took a second glance at the orderly.
Sorry, I said.
No problem,
he responded, but I could see in his eyes that it was a problem. I ignored him and moved to the lockers. I pulled on a uniform and left the revival chamber. As I did so, I could hear the orderly talking to Anne quietly.
Are you sure he's okay?
The man asked.
It's my call and I've made it.
Yeah, sure.
Your call?
Feeling another mild surge of anger toward the nosy, whining orderly, I left the chamber before I could act on it. Was something wrong with me? What part of the brain controlled anger? I had no idea. Could it be true they'd brought me back to life with new emotional problems that I didn't already have? Wonderful. Usually when troops were revived outside of battle, they headed for their bunks or maybe got a light meal. I did neither. I almost didn't know where I was headed until I got there. The guards at the ladder that led up to the officer's deck let me pass after a cursory glance. After all, I'd blown past them with Winslade's blessing just a few hours earlier. They had no idea what I was intending to do. Winslade was in his office, but he wasn't alone. The Primus had a guest. Claver was strapped to a chair in front of Winslade's desk. I barged in and stared. Claver's head was lolling strangely.
What the?
Winslade demanded.
Oh, it's you, McGill. I thought he was still dead. Well, no matter. Did they send you to collect the body? That's what I requested. I thought you were an orderly. Such an inconvenience having them all so busy down there.
I was still staring at Claver. His head rested on his chest, his tongue protruded, and his eyes were open a fraction.
You killed him?
I asked. Winslade laughed.
Slow today, are we? Claver chose not to give me the information I wanted. I decided to re-roll, as it were. Next time we'll get more from him. I've learned a few things from this experience.
There was blood on the floor. Claver's blood. My eyes crawled over it silently. Now don't get me wrong, Claver has always been a card-carrying fucker of the First Order. I'd once watched him cause thousands of Tau to die just because they inconvenienced him. But that didn't mean the man should be tortured to death. What made it worse was knowing I'd suggested we revive him for questioning. This same cruel cycle of life, torture and death, had been visited upon my person in the past, and I took a dim view of the practice. If there really is a hell, and there's any justice in this universe, I said, someday Claver will be the devil's favorite. Winslade cocked his head and narrowed his eyes.
You're in an odd, poetic mood today.
But that doesn't mean, I continued as if he hadn't spoken, that we should torture and kill even such a wretch as he. I looked up, meeting Winslade's gaze. He knew then what I intended. He saw the emotions surging behind my eyes. A murderous lust burned in my twisted mind, an anger I couldn't hide any longer.
What's wrong with you, McGill?
He asked.
Has something gone wrong with your revive?
I don't think so, sir, I said. I think it's gone very right. I think I can see more clearly now than ever before. Winslade nodded and sat on his desk nonchalantly, as if he didn't have a care in the world. I didn't have a weapon, but we both knew that didn't matter.
Your head is tilting to one side, and your left eye is blinking on its own, Winslade said. Are you even aware of that?
What I'm aware of is your shortcomings as an officer, I said.
You ordered us to set up a defensive position too far out from the lifter. We should have been tightly circled under the vehicle's struts. Then anti-personnel turrets would have been deployed safely with us in reserve instead of the other way around. Winslade shrugged.
Tactical hindsight? Really? That's what this is all about? You think you know better than I do how to run a cohort?
Yes, I said flatly. He frowned at me.
I shall have you arrested for this, he said. But I want to hear more first. Let's hear what you really think.
I think you're a sadist who sat up here toying with Claver instead of doing your job, I began, and it got worse from there. I told him everything I thought, hell, everything the whole Legion thought about Primus Winslade. He shot me before I even finished my tirade. I never saw it coming. Whatever else he was a sneaky bastard. He'd had a small concealed needler in his palm the whole time. I figured that out later. When I was on my back trying to breathe and staring up at him, he dared to loom close.
You want to know what I think? He asked me conversationally. I think you're a big baby who didn't like dying in a fight. Worse, you're a bad grow, a mental case. That's lucky for you, because I'm going to give you another chance, just like Claver here. Now, when you wake up, I want you to come upstairs again and give me the best apology you're capable of. One that money can't buy. Do you understand?
Growling and spitting blood, I reached for his throat. I caught hold of his neck for a moment, squeezing, but I lost my grip. I was gratified to see the shock on his face as my big fingers tore at his shirt and pulled him off balance. Then the needler sang again, and my nerves wouldn't obey me any longer. I gargled and twitched for a time before dying. I was happy to see Winslade panting and leaning up against a far wall, waiting at a safe distance for me to die. There were marks on his neck, red welts that would turn purple by tomorrow. I died with a feral grin on my face.